Let me start today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Do you know where 1 Corinthians is? You should. Your Bible should just about open up and fall there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's where we've been looking at for such a while. But I want us to do another study today about the temple. I want us to understand the pillars of God in the house of the Lord. I want to look at this briefly. And when we leave here, I want us to know that we are pillars in something. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, tells us what? Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will what? Destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. The whole emphasis of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians especially, as we are seeing, is the body of Christ. We are temples individual and we are temples corporately. Don't mess with the temple. Learn to love it. Learn to care for it. But don't curse the temple. Understand that you are a part of the temple of God. Look with me in just one or two more. Let me do one more. Look at Ephesians 2, 21. Who is the temple? When the Bible speaks into the temple, is it talking about a brick, mortar, rock, cedar wood structure? Or is it talking about the body of Christ? It's talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about you and it's talking about me. We are the temple. And we are being formed together. We are being made to come together into a holy habitation of God. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. And not only are you of God's household, but you are the house of God. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the corner, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into what? Holy temple, holy habitation in the Lord. And that's what we are. That's what you are. That's what I am. That's what we are, is a place for God to come and dwell and move and have His being in us. That's why we exist. That's our purpose of existence. And I want to talk about the pillars that are in that temple. There are pillars in your life. Look with me in the book of Kings, chapter 7. 1 Kings, chapter 7. We have been studying the temple. You are the temple of God. You're not the tabernacle. You're not something that He's going to dwell in for a period of time. He wants to dwell in you all of your days. It's not just a generation that He will dwell in the temple. He will dwell in the temple for centuries. This is the temple. This is the temple teaching. And in chapter 7, beginning actually around verse 13 and going through 22 of chapter 7 of 1 Kings, we'll read about this pillars, the pillars that I'm about to tell you about. But I'm not going to read these, just showing you where they are so that you can look at them. I do want to read verse 21. Thus he, this is Solomon, set up the pillars at the porch of the nave, and he set up the right pillar and named it Jashem, and he set up the left pillar and named it Boaz. There's pillars in the temple. Now, these pillars are the ones that right in front, as you enter in the temple, these are the pillars that you see. And again, let me show you this. There are gates of life. We have the eye gates. We have the ear gates. So what I want to show you visually are these temples, are these pillars. This, of course, is the temple structure. This is what I see as I read the scriptures and study them. We come in the great court, in the court of the priest, come by the brazen altar, the great sea, up the steps, and then we face these two huge temples, two huge pillars right here, Jashem and Boaz. Looking down from the top, same thought, out here is the great court, court of the priest, where the ministry, the brazen altar, the great sea. Ascending up these steps, and we come face to face in this portico, come face to face with the two large beings, the two large pillars here, Jashem and Boaz. the larger picture, same thing, ascending up. They're the pillars. And then here is what I see that they look like through the Scriptures. They're huge. Huge, huge pillars. Let me try to give you a dimension so that you will understand the hugeness of these pillars. They're about 7 feet wide. This is about 7 feet in this aisle. From here to here is about 7 feet. This is how wide these pillars are. In circumference, they're 21 feet. Huge pillars. They are at least 42 feet tall. Probably 49. But at least 42 feet tall. This ceiling is 12 feet. This building is like about 20 feet. These pillars are twice as tall as this building is. This big around and that tall. On the top of the pillars is what's called chapiters. These chapiters were also made of brass, as was the pillar, which was bright brass. There's pomegranates that are hung around it, and there's all kinds of teachings I can get into here. The pillars in your life has a lot of seed in them. Whatever your pillars are in your life, whoever they are, they're imparting into you seed that's going to reproduce. Pomegranates are full of seeds. How many's ever eaten a pomegranate? More seeds than it's full of seeds. I don't want to get into all that. There's chains around here. A pillar will put you in some kind of bondage. And how many are slaves to Christ? Whatever that you're following after, whatever's a pillar in your life has you in some form of bondage. There's lily work at the top of it. And these pillars are gorgeous and they're beautiful. And there's all kinds of teachings. But the main thing I want us to understand and get an idea of what the Bible talks about when it talks about pillars. The one on the right, as you would ascend up, was Jashem. One on the left is Boaz. Jashem means this. As you look up the Hebrew word, it means he will establish. Boaz means strength. How many knows that the Lord really must establish us? A lot of people try to establish themselves. Does it ever work? Ministry that tries to establish itself never works. The Lord will establish us. And if we allow the Lord to establish us, then we will be established. Boaz means strength. Now, I see more than just strength in Boaz. And I want to just take a second here and minister to you what I really believe the reason that it was named Boaz. David, who has the revelation, who received the revelation, the king, received the revelation of the temple. Do you know what his grandfather's name was? Good guess. Boaz. That's what his grandfather's name was Boaz. I believe that David and Solomon had a real revelation about ancestral strength. You receive strength from your ancestors. You really do. You go to a doctor's office. They're going to give you a paper. On that paper is going to have all kinds of questions. The majority of those questions is, does anybody in your family have high blood pressure? Does anybody in your family have high sugar levels? Does anybody in your family suffer from this or suffer from that? Or have they ever had hepatitis? Am I right? Because why? We inherit these things from our ancestors. We do. But also we inherit the strength. Boaz was a good man. Boaz was a strong man. You can read about him, and you'll find out that Boaz was something that you would really want to inherit. And evidently, he really had an influence in David's life. Boaz was a special man. He had great wealth. He was generous. He owned property. Do you understand that there's always a battle for property? That whoever's taking the property is taking dominion? There's always a struggle over the land. He worked. He took notice of women of excellence. He drank a little wine. He kept the law. He had a son by Ruth whose name was Obed. Obed inherited what Boaz had. Obed had a son whose name was Jesse. Jesse inherited what Obed received from Boaz. Guess whose son is Jesse? Guess who one of Jesse's sons are? David. It was on this land, it was on this property that Boaz acquired, that David grazed the sheep, that David went out and took care of the things of learning how to shepherd and become what David finally became, the king. It was an impartation that came all the way down from Boaz into the very life of David. God deals with families in generations. Is this true? What is the generation? 40 years? And the Bible promises you 70. And so God will deal with us in that way. In our lives, in this span of time, in this 40 or 70 years, what we do greatly depends upon the pillars that have been in our lives. The Boazes, the Jashems, are the wife of Lot. She became a pillar. Real salt of the earth, wasn't she? Absalom erected for himself a pillar. What we become greatly depends upon the pillars that are in our life. You're a temple, and you are pillars. Whether you want them there or not, irrelevant. They are there. Your life has pillars in it. Now, understand that I know that these generational curses can be broken because Jesus became a curse for us, did He not? And we are released from the curse of the law. But we've got to enter in. And that's what I'm really trying to say here. To enter in, if you'll go on through this, this is what Boaz and Jashem is saying. If you'll go on in God, you'll get strength. If you'll go on in God, you can become a pillar in the house of God. You got to go on. You can have the generational curses in your life broken. Diabetes, high blood pressure, all these things can be broken, but you got to go on. And that's just not in the natural, that's also in the spiritual. Wife beating, alcoholism, homosexuality, a fantasy sex life. All these things that men suffer and women suffer from can be broken if you just go on in God according to the pillars that are in our life. These pillars are beautiful. They stand there inviting us to come in. Huge, bright brass pillars. It was between these that the kings would stand and make their decrees. It was at the pillars. As I looked at pillars in the Scriptures, I found out that there were many, many, many uses of pillars and thoughts about the pillars that I want to give to us. I want to give you 8 of them, I think, or 7. We'll do this rapidly. First pillar that we really want to understand and learn about is that the Lord God projects Himself as a pillar. He led the Israelites by what? Pillar of cloud by the day and a pillar of fire by the night. In Exodus 13, 21 and 22, it says this, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. He led them. And by night in a pillar of fire, He gave to give them light to go by day and night." Can I suggest to us today that the Lord still leads His people by pillars? Do you believe that? One more scripture. Let me get you to look at one more scripture with me. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. And we're at the end of the Bible now. The Bible's still talking about pillars. Pillars is used a lot in the Scriptures. Just in the Old Testament alone, it's used 132 times. So by no means will this be an expository teaching, an exhaustive teaching, in that I'm going to use all the Scriptures because I'd have to use 132 and we'd be here till tomorrow. But it is going to project to you and you'll understand that there are pillars in your life and you need to get your eyes fixed on pillars. The Lord still leads His people by pillars. There are still pillars that the Lord puts in the house of God. Revelation 3, verse 12. "He who overcomes, I will make him," what? "A pillar in the temple of my God. And he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon him the name," not Boaz or Jashem, "but I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the New Jerusalem, city of my God." What's going to be written on you? The name of your God, the name of the city of your God. Now, the city of the God is the New Jerusalem, which comes down. We're going to read that in just a second, which comes down out of heaven. What is the New Jerusalem? The church. It's the bride of Christ. And it comes down out of heaven. Please notice here in this verse, we're not going up to it. It's coming to us. See if I'm not right. "I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. If you want to have a name written on your on you as a pillar, and you want to be a pillar in the house of God, it must become necessary for you to understand that you must overcome some things. A life that is not given to overcoming, and the life that's not given to God, won't have the name of God and the New Jerusalem written on it. He wants to mark us. We're concerned about the mark of the beast. I'm more concerned about getting marked with the mark of the Lord. I want Him to write a name on me. So the first thing that we see is that the Lord still leads His people by pillars. There are still pillars in the house of God. If you'll still come into the temple of God, you still should see pillars. There still should be people that give strength. There still should be people that you can look at it and let them direct your life and put strength into you. The second thing I see, it's overcomers. We just read the scripture, it's overcomers. People established in the church are pillars. Every true dwelling place of God had pillars in it. Every true dwelling place of God had pillars in it. The tabernacle in Exodus 26 and 37 had pillars. The temple we're reading right now in 1 Kings 7:21 has pillars. Ezekiel's temple in 40:49 has pillars. The church has pillars. The New Jerusalem has pillars. Every place that God really dwells has pillars. If God is truly dwelling in our place, in our body, in our church, should there be pillars here? No, no. Will there be pillars here? It's established of God. There must be pillars in the temple. So the second thing we see is that overcomers in the church, in the body, are pillars. Lot's wife became a pillar. Genesis 19 and 26. She disobeyed and she looked back. She disobeyed and she looked back. She became a pillar of salt. Learn not to look back and learn not to disobey. Jesus said this, the man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back, not worthy to enter into the kingdom. So understand that it's necessary not to look back. Put your hand to the plow and go on with God and be obedient. Bad things happen when you turn into a block of salt. That's right. Your kids have unnatural sexual activity. Look what happens to your husband. Never turn back and learn never to be disobedient. Am I right? You know I'm right. The fourth thing. Find out in the scriptures that many altars were built and put on pillars. Jacob built a pillar. And then he built an altar on the pillars. And that's where that was his altar. That's where he vowed his vow. That's where he put his life to God. Romans chapter 12 says what? Present your bodies what? The living sacrifice to God. It speaks about coming to the altar and offering yourself. When's the last time you came to the altar? And I'm not talking about these padded altars right here. Whether this is where you come or not, you need to have an altar in your life. It might be in your bedroom. It might be your closet. I don't know. It may be some, but it needs to be some place that you can come and climb upon the pillars and present your body as a living sacrifice to God. Pillars are used for altars. Fifth thing, pillars become walls of separation between people. Talking here about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness builds pillars. We'll see this in Genesis 31 and 51. Jacob has been living with Laban for quite a time. A lot of dissension. He's changed his wages 10 times. He's deceived Jacob. Jacob is now deceiving Laban. And all this is going on. Now Jacob's leaving Laban and Laban catches up with him. And what Laban says is this, let us build pillars. And you don't cross over on my side and I don't cross over on your side. And folks, let me tell you, people in the church have got pillars built up where they'll let people come so far into their lives, but that's it. Don't cross over no more because I won't forgive you for something you done yesterday or 2 years ago or 20 years ago. Jacob lived with Laban 20 years. He built pillars up. He couldn't go over there. He couldn't come over here. And this was family. This was Jacob's kid's grandfather. Pillars. Jacob set a pillar for Rachel's grave. Memorial pillar. It's a headstone, if you will. But it was more than that. It was a pillar. It was big. What I want to ask you is, how is your life turning out? How will you be remembered? Will it be memorial? Will it be a pillar? Will it be a marker? Will it be something that shows that you were here? You accomplished something in life? Something took place in your generation, in your time? I end it with this one. Deuteronomy 12 and 3. And don't turn, listen. And ye shall overthrow their altars. This is the Lord giving directions as the nation was going to go into the Canaan land. You shall overthrow their altars and break their altars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. You'll overthrow them. You'll break down their pillars. I want to say this to us. The Lord wants to invade our lives. Do you believe that? He wants to come into your land. He wants to come to Canaan. He wants to come into your place where there's an abundant life, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. He wants to do that. And when he comes in there, he finds pillars. He finds graven images. He finds idols. He finds that things that are established and built to Ashtaroth, which is sexual things, and things that are built to Baal, worldly things. And he finds the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life in our lives. And when he comes into your life, he wants to hew these things down and tear them down. Am I right? Now, the way he's going to usually do that is with his people. Did he do it any other way, Don? Was there any other way that he did it in the scriptures other than using people? When he comes into your life, guess what he's going to use? Isn't that neat? He has set the body together as he hath seen fit. We want to pick and choose who we let into our lives. Folks, I'm telling you, people are putting our lives sometimes you down these altars that we have. You down these pillars. Change our lives. And God wants to come in and he wants to present to himself a body without spot or wrinkle or any such thing that he can present to himself. He wants to come in. He wants to invade our lives. In 2 Samuel 18 and 18, Absalom reared up for himself a pillar. And that's what we have done. Whether we want to admit it or not, we have pillars in our lives that we have reared up, Steve. Things that we built, that we look at, that we establish our lives on. They become pillars in our lives. We rear them up. Absalom is the epitome of rebellion. He wanted to take the kingdom of God away from his daddy. He thought he was something special. Cut his hair once a year. Weighed what, 10 pounds or something? It was a lot. He thought he was pretty boy. He reared up for himself a pillar. And we think of ourselves sometimes more highly than we ought. We're going to hang up in a tree one day. We don't deal with our pillars. Samson in Judges 10. No, Judges 16. 25. Samson pushed apart the pillars and destroyed the Philistines, destroyed the things of God, the things of the world, destroyed the Philistines. You and I have things of the world in our lives, the things of the Philistines. What we need to do today is take the strength of the Holy Spirit when the Spirit comes back upon us. Push these pillars apart and let the whole thing cave in, folks, so that real pillars can be built. A lot of destroying needs to be done in the church, in our lives, so that real pillars can be built up, so that we can go on into the very things of God. There are pillars that needs to come down. So here's it. Ask yourself now, as I ask myself, what's leading me today? What pillar of fire am I following? Is it something that's leading me in the right direction? Is it leading me to the land that's flowing with milk and honey? Is it the life that Jesus wants me to live? Am I following that pillar? Jesus says, I come to give you life. And what? That abundantly. Is your life abundant? If it's not, then let me suggest, look at your pillars. Look at what you're following after. Are you happy today? If you're not, then find out what you're following after. Where is it taking you? It's taking you to where there's not happiness. Secondly of all, ask yourself this. Are you overcoming? Are you becoming a pillar in the church? Are you becoming not only following a light, following pillars that lead you where you need to go and give you light by night? Are you not only following that, but are you becoming something that people can follow? Are you becoming a Boaz in your ancestry line? Are you going to leave something for somebody down the road where they can look back and say, that was my granddaddy. That was my daddy. My God, this is good. Boy, if we can hear this. Number three, ask yourself this. Are you looking back? A lot of Christians start looking back. It's dangerous. Turn into a pillar of salt. Lose your family. Children can produce some real Moabites, real enemies to God. Illicit things. It's dangerous when you start looking back. Don't look back. Are you looking back today? Or are you wanting to go on in? Number four, have you been to the altar in a while? You've been to where the pillars are. Have you been there? I promise you, if you go to the altars, a real altar, you'll find pillars. Pillars will come and minister to you. Pillars will come and pray for you. Johnny had a problem this morning, a big problem. He's had a lot of problems. Finally come down to the altars, he found some pillars that ministered to him. You need to find pillars. Go to the altar. There'll be pillars there. A real altar has pillars. Number five, ask yourself this. Have you allowed pillars to be built that separate you from other people? Is there unforgiveness in your life? Do these pillars need to come down? Number six, let me just say this. Jesus said this. When you pray these things, then he says, forgive us even as what? We forgive those who trespass against us, even those that offend us. Father, forgive me just like I forgive them. And then he spends time at the end of that of teaching that prayer, and he says, now listen, understand this, get this in your heart. If you don't forgive people, they won't forgive you. God won't forgive you. Let me say it again. If you don't forgive people, Father cannot forgive you. Am I right? Don't let pillars be established. Don't let Laban come and cause you to erect a pillar so that you can't have interaction with people. Always walk in forgiveness. Number five. Number six. Is your life going somewhere? Will there be a memorial pillar for you? Will there be something at the end of your days that declares that you were here, that you did something? What's happening in your life? And then finally, number seven, ask yourself this. Am I destroying the pillars that I have erected? The Absaloms that I've built? Am I allowing the spirit of Samson to come and push apart those pillars and let the whole thing cave in so that I can ascend into the house of the Lord and become a pillar in the temple of my God? Heads bowed. Say, yes, Pastor. In one or more of those areas, I am guilty. And I confess it today. I have pillars, wrong pillars in my life, but I want to have the right pillars. I want to be a pillar in the house of God, and I want to get my eyes fixed on those that are pillars that lead me into the land of promise, the land of abundance. There's things in my life that I really do need to destroy. There's some things of Absalom that I've built. There's some things that are causing separation between me and people. I really don't know what my life's producing. I want it to produce something. I want my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren to be proud of me. I really want these things that you've been preaching today. If this includes you in one or more of these areas, and you just want to confess that and ask the Lord by the power of His Spirit to come in and push apart the pillars and let the whole thing cave in so that He can build into you a Jashem and a Boaz, that He can write upon you the name of the New Jerusalem, the name of our God, would you slip your hand up so I can be praying for you? We can pray for one another. Amen. See some hands? I think there's some more. Just keep them up for a second. You really want to be a pillar. That's your desire. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to end this today. It's this way. I want us to get beside one another and reach, pray for that one on your right and that one on your left. I don't want to have you come down here and do this, but I really believe that all of us need this prayer. And then at the end of this prayer, we're going to pray for our church, that our church will be a pillar in this community. It'll be something that leads people, that leads us by day and gives us light by night. When in our dark times, that there's light. There's a house of God that really can bring light into our city. I want you to get with somebody. Just slide together. If there's chairs between you, the kids are gone and there's vacancies. But just slide together. And then pray for the one on your right. Pray for the one on your left. And just pray for each other that you will be a pillar in the house of God. I don't want you standing. Just sit and just slide together and just begin to minister and pray for one another. We really do need to learn how to do this, how to really pray for one another. Amen, Father. We want to be pillars. We just don't want to go through motions. We don't want to build pillars of Absalom. We want to be pillars in the house of our God. We desire, O God, that you show us what to do. Let the spirit that came upon Samson come upon us, and all the things of the Philistines that have been built and erected in our lives can come down. Father, I pray right now for those that need forgiveness, those that need to forgive, that these pillars that have been erected that divide people will come down. Father, I pray today that we find the right pillar to follow. We come to the altars. We allow the pillars to be there and minister to us. Father, I pray for us today. I pray for us today. Work the Boaz principle into our lives. Work the Boaz principle into our lives. Amen. Amen. Father, right now I just pray for Johnny. Pray, Lord God, that he'll become a pillar in the house of God. Lord, you'll do a work in his mind. You'll deliver him, Lord God, from the powers of the enemy. And you'll just bring him, Lord God, to be a temple in himself, and that the pillars in his temple will be those that you have built and you have constructed. Huge temples. In the name of Jesus. Now I want you to join with me and pray with me as I pray for this church, that it will be a pillar in this city. Father, we just release angels now to come and minister in our church. That, Father God, that we will be a pillar in our community. That when people come in our doors, when people see us on the streets, when people see the members of this church in this place, they will know that it really is a light to the world. The Father, that we are a pillar in our community, that we hold it up, that we are something that the Lord God shines through and leads through, that we are something that ministers in the temple of the Lord, that we are pillars, pillars, pillars in the house of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray now for the Holy Spirit. Father, I have learned that without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it's just words and rhetoric. It's time wasted. Father, I pray now that the Holy Spirit will be here every time we come together. And that, Lord, we're not just preaching sermons to be preaching sermons. And we're not just going through motions. But for a truth, the Spirit of God is here. For a truth, the Spirit of God is here. Lord, I've learned that no matter how many doors I knock on, how many hospital visits I make, no matter what I do, how good I preach or how bad I preach, it really is irrelevant without the Spirit of God. Unless you quicken to hearts of men and draw them, unless you bring people in and plant them, Father, it is nothing. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that this church will be a place where the Spirit of God constantly dwells and is released. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things. In his name I pray, his covenant I pray, and by his blood I pray.
If you agree with that, say amen. 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 Well, God bless. How many is a pillar now? A lot more pillars. A lot more pillars.